Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have accepted our praise in song, in music. We have just enjoyed your presence, and we give you thanks for being here with us. Now I pray that your word will also mean much to us as we listen and absorb and take home with us. Bless us now in your name. Amen. I don't know if that is some kind of token that I must let my wife speak first before I speak. Now, why are you so quiet? Thank you so much for the whole week and for the time that we spent here this week. We thoroughly enjoyed it, and Wednesday was special. We spent some time in Port Ludlow with the leaders there. It was very special. And I never know of one single visit that was not special when I come to Seattle. It's good to be home, and I give you thanks for each one of you who have been there to encourage us, to welcome us, and make us feel absolutely at home. Thank you so much. I think this will be the longest that I've ever stayed in Seattle with one visit. The fact that we are here until the end of the year, and it's just simply good to be here. And for long, I have felt like a member of the church, and I think it's just about confirmed now. I'm staying longer when I come. Thank you so much for having us, and may I once again express our thanks and appreciation for your support. And I also would say it on behalf of my colleague, both of us who work in Africa, thank you for your support, for what you are doing, so that we fulfill that which the Lord has called us for. We thank you and wish you God's richest blessing. Well, it's good to be here, as always. And I think the weekend is almost over, and you've enjoyed the Friday, you've enjoyed the Saturday, and now we're sitting and listening to His Word. And I have pondered much this week. A portion of Scripture that has always meant much to me. And I've never really looked at it so that I may preach from it and have a sermon about it. I wonder why. But I have always, when I looked at it, felt so good when I read John 15, you know, and all of those verses that follow. And right from the first verse, it starts up and it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear much fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in the vine. I'd like to repeat that fifth verse because it has tremendous meaning. Jesus says, I am the vine. You, all of you, are the branches. And he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. John, one of the closest to Jesus when he was on earth, probably the closest, always there. If John speaks about Jesus and what Jesus says, I take note. Because he knows the facts. He's been there. He's listened carefully. And for me, when John says that Jesus says, he's the vine, we are the branches, as if it is putting us in our place. A good place to be, a safe place to be, because we in him. It goes on and it says, anyone does not abide in me is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burnt. Verse 7, if you abide in me and ask and words and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. When I read that portion of scripture, there are some things that stand out for me. Number one, it says that he who abides in him bears much fruit. And I emphasize the much. He who abides in him bears much fruit. There's two things that stand out there. Number one, it says, he who abides in me bears much fruit. Abiding in me says that you're not visiting there. You're not checking in from time to time. You are abiding in him. Now, we know many Christians that serve the Lord. I sometimes call them the in and out Christians. They hop in sometimes when they feel good about the church. And they hop out again, you know, for whatever they need to do or accomplish. But he's speaking about, and it's repeated there, I think, seven times, about abiding in the vine. Not hanging in there and hanging out. Not visiting there occasionally when you feel spiritual. Not visiting there when there's something special that's happening. But abiding there. It means staying there. It means hanging in there. It means making sure that that's my place to be in Christ and Christ in me. I think the Master, our Lord, rejoices if we don't visit with him occasionally. But if we feel comfortable spending our lives and commit our lives to abiding in him, so that he may always be there to abide with us and abide in us. And then he says, and he also bears much fruit. Not a little fruitcake occasionally, but he bears much fruit. It's not occasionally something that I do for Christ when I feel very spiritual, but it's something that I do habitually as a lifestyle, that I bear much fruit. That those who live around me know me by my fruits, because it is by the fruit that they will know me. Not what I say, not what I read about a paper or in my books. It is that they have got to know me as somebody who abides in him. In other words, they are there staying firmly and they are bearing much fruit. I sometimes wonder what the church would be if we all apply that principle of bearing much fruit. I can just think what a church would look like with every member bearing fruit. And not just the elders, the deacons, and the elders are eldering here, the deacons are digging there, and they're working, they're on their way. But no, every one of us who abide in Christ, my, they bear much fruit. So I'd like to speak to you this morning, in short, about what it really means and what do we get out of abiding in Him. What does it profit us? What does it mean to us? Firstly, I would say, and the scripture teaches us in the verse 7, it says, if we abide in the vine, our praises, our prayers, and our praises are more effective. If we abide in the vine, our prayers become more effective. Because we're not going to have to hunt and look up for the Lord to find Him so that we can ask what we want. But because we're living with Him, in Him, we feel, He feels us, we feel Him. Our prayers become more effective because we know how He feels of us and He knows how we feel. Our prayers become effective. It's not just a recitation or something that we do. It becomes a prayer heart to heart. Because we are bearing fruit and we're living and we're abiding in Him, we have learned that our prayers are effective. Many of us have seen our prayers miraculously being answered. I can stay here until tonight or tomorrow or the day after telling you of how I have seen my God at work as an answer to prayer. And that's why I know for a fact that He does answer prayer. But some Christians remain a little bit unsure whether I can I ask this, or will this happen? Could it happen? No, possibly not for me. Could be for others. But you know what it does? It gives you that confidence that you are in Him, you're abiding in Him, your prayers become much more effective, and you live in anticipation of your prayers being answered. You're not hoping and wishing, but you know that He answers prayer. Verse 8 teaches me that we glorify God in our fruit bearing if we abide in Him. If we abide in Him, we glorify God in our fruit bearing. And I think we got to regularly ask ourselves as we live in Him, how much fruit are we bearing? How much have my neighbors or others learned or known or got to know from the Lord because of my witness and because of Jesus living in me? I got to ask myself the question, to what value is the kingdom if Jesus lives in me? And if I am not living in Him as much as is needed, I got to ask myself the question, am I truly a disciple? Now, a disciple is a follower of Jesus, which means that, yes, you follow Jesus and do as much as you can of what He has done. We become good fruit bearer Christians. We become good fruit bearing Christians because therein we glorify God. Thirdly, by being in Christ, abiding in Christ, we demonstrate our discipleship. Because He says there in the 8th and 9th verse, He tells us that we will be, let me read it. It says, it's the 8th and the 9th. It says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. So important. If you keep my commandments. Oh, that's 10. 9 is, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. We demonstrate our discipleship. We don't just talk about it. We don't just preach about it. But we demonstrate it so that people get to know that what we have is precious, and seek to have what we have. Number 4, it says also there that our joy become full through experiencing Christ's own joy within us, in verse 11. You know, if we experience Christ's joy in us, we become true fruit bearers. It means a lot then to enjoy. I think it was Pastor John that was saying just a few days here, I think it was, in one of the meetings that he was last Sunday, speaking about joy. And on Wednesday, I mentioned it in the teaching class here, that if you don't have joy, I believe you're not very strong. Because it says that the joy of the Lord is my strength. So if you do not have joy, it actually says and demonstrates that you are weak. Sadly, I'm not saying it. It's the Bible that says the joy of the Lord is my strength. So shall I interpret that the no joy is then being weak? Could be. I love joy because it makes me strong. It takes me beyond what I can bear myself. It takes me further that I can walk myself. It helps me to get done what I can't do myself. It helps me to go through what I can't go through by myself. That's why I love to be joyous. I hate every sad moment in my life. I try to cut it to the minimum, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And I want to almost emphasize it and repeat it, because it's amazing that even our faces either sell the Lord or sell him out. Because if you look at some Christians, you wonder if you want to be a Christian. I'm not so sure. Huh? It looks a miserable life. Not you. I'm talking people in other churches. but it's a fact. You know? There's two things I love. And somebody got it wrong and just had wrong ideas when I said it. I said, I love being joyful. And I love joy. And I said, I love love. What? I said, does it sound straight? No, I love love. I love loving people. And you know what enables that? I love Jesus. And I know that he loves me. And when I have his love, man, I want to hug all of you. And a mourning brother from distance is not good enough for me, because I want to hug you. Because I love love. Because love is special. Love is special. You are empowered when you feel good. And others feel, my, maybe Christianity is not too bad. Look at them. They seem to be happy. And they seem to be, you know, strong. It is a fact that the joy become full through experiencing Christ's joy within us. Christ's joy within us. I'm going to the 5th. None of the above is more profound than when Jesus calls his disciples friends. We've read it over and over. It seems simple, but it is profound. Absolutely profound. That Jesus calls you and I friends. We used to sing in the old days, before some of your time, what a friend we have in Jesus. And I still sing it sometimes, only when I'm alone. But what a friend we have in Jesus. All our griefs to bear, something like that. Because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. What a friend we have in Jesus. Which other friend will tolerate us the way Jesus tolerates us? I've had some friends that's no longer my friends. They've dropped me. I've had some friends that's no longer my friends because I dropped them. Not in disappointing, I just see some things and I thought, okay, it's fine. I'm not going to kick you at the heels. I'm just going to slowly abstain and get out because I'm not happy with my company. Some Christians, if you walk with them long enough, there's some things that become a little bit uncomfortable. And then you're not going to necessarily rebuke them, but you just sort of feel you must just sort of, slowly step back and, okay, I love you, but, and I'm just moving to the other side. But he's a friend that has never moved aside. Even in my weekdays, he was there. He was there. I remember as a young Christian, very young, teenager, working hard for the Lord. Man, working extremely hard. That bicycle of mine, I've pedaled up the mountains past the Hrutsky Hospital. And it's a steep hill, and I pedal with that bicycle up there with the mountains in Cape Town. And when I pedal, and I sometimes the tears run because I'm pedaling, and, it's hard. It's tough. And there's some other youth in the church, and they're having a happy, glorious, happy-go-lucky life. And here I am working for the Lord, and man, it's just making it harder for me because I'm pedaling the bicycle. I'm here. I'm in 7 meetings per week in 7 days. Every week, 7 meetings. I'm there, Evan, until I found out how stupid I was. 7 meetings. Literally 7 times a week in church. Not so much with the Lord. 7 times a week I'm in church. Going on. And it went on like that. Sundays, there's no hope. You know where you don't even get close to home to go have lunch on a Sunday. You have morning, you go teach Sunday school. The afternoon, you teach something. The evening, you go from there to the service. And you're working Monday morning, you go to the boss like this. Yeah. And I felt that the Lord was so proud of me. kind of a workaholic. And he loves me for all and everything. And I one day went said to my mom, I said, Mom, in Afrikaans, of course, the heavenly language, I said to my mom, I said, Mom, I'm not going to church today. She said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to not going to work today. I'm going to the church. And she said, what are you going to do? No, I'm going to pray at the church. And I got there the morning, and I had the keys. So I got in the church, and I sat there, and I left there about 5 o'clock the afternoon from the morning, and I told the Lord exactly what I thought he was. Cruel, unfair, and I told the Lord how unreasonable he is, that I work so hard. And the others are enjoying their lives. They're just happy. They come whenever they want to and what. And I talk to the Lord seriously. I want him to answer me today. I want him to reply to me. I'm not leaving here before you tell me why you're so harsh on me. That was probably 8 o'clock in the morning, and 5 o'clock, I'm still there. I've wiped my tears about 100 times, and when it came to about 5 o'clock the afternoon, I wiped my tears for the last time and decided, okay, he must have gone on holiday or he's not here, but he hasn't turned up, never listened a word. And I head for the door, and as I head for the door, I heard the voice of the Lord. And he says, some things I do is good, other things he allows so that he prepares me for what he has in mind. Not exactly those words, but that were the gist of it all. I sat down and I went back in and began to pray and cry again because I couldn't understand it. Why is it happening to me? It was a few years later, quite a few years later, at the age of 30. I've just taken full-time responsibility for my first church, doing my probation. And as we go to the youth gathering, big group, youth group going to the beach in Port Elizabeth, where I did my probation there, And as the youth were sitting there, my wife and I were sitting there, and we just 2 weeks in Port Elizabeth, new to the church, and then they asked us to address the youth. And while I was sitting there and waiting, the Holy Spirit came and he says, the moment for which I have called you is now. You're ready. And suddenly, I saw the picture of me in the church there as a young teenager crying before God. And I'm not saying everybody must go through that. I'm just saying that for me, he took me that road so that I may know who he is and what it means to walk with Jesus. Close to Jesus, we said, was John. And John writes this, and he says that none of them could have believed, not in my words, but could have believed. It's so profound that Jesus, there for the first time within that, says, I call you friends. I call you friends. I have not calculated how long it was that they have walked with Jesus, that Jesus eventually called them friends. But it wasn't with the entry level. It was later on that he says, abide in me. And he says, I call you friends. What a privilege, what an honor. And what it said to me is I wanted to so much and still do to abide in him so that he will feel comfortable in calling me a friend. I know he's my Savior. I know he's my Lord. He's my Master. He's my everything. But I love nothing more to know that I can sing what a friend I have in Jesus. All my griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. To abide in Christ has such tremendous benefits for all of us. I believe that we should regularly search our lives and how we are serving him. What's our level of having grown in him so that we can truly say that he abides in us, yes, but we abide in him. Is the fruit bearing there? Is our prayers effective? Do we demonstrate Jesus in our discipleship? Is our joy complete in Him? And is He truly calling us a friend? In verse 17, John says, "These things I command you, that you love one another." That you love one another. Now, if we are all in Him and Him in us, and He is love, how can we escape not loving Him? How can it be? You know, love becomes almost something naturally right there if we are all in Him. It's easy for me to say we all in the church here today. We're all here because we can be seen to be. The walls cover us so that we are all inside. If you're all working around the building all over, and I say we're all in the building, no, we're not. If we abide in Him, and Him in us, then it means we're all together in Him, and He is love. How can we not love? It is something so outside of God. It's just not godly. It's just not something that He will be comfortable having, that you abiding in Him, but you abiding in Him with that feeling of that you have against something. These things I command you, that you love one another. I've always had the dream that maybe in another year or so I would tone down a little bit my schedule and start writing, because I have 4 or 5 books in me. And the first one that I wanted to start with, or probably going to start with, is actually something that deals with love and forgiveness. Because I've had that experience myself. And I don't want to write somebody else's teaching and experience but mine. And I came to Seattle. Came from Los Angeles. Ministered there by Bayless. And then came here. And all along my journey from South Africa to California and back here, I prayed, "Lord, help me that I may not have one single person with whom I'm a bad friend, with whom I hate, but that I may love all people before I write, that I not write something to somebody else, but and then I have it in my own heart." And I said, "Lord, reveal to me if there is someone that I must ask forgiveness so that I go and do it." And I felt there was nobody except for one in South Africa. And I met him once in Namibia. And I went out to him and I took his hand. I'm ready to ask him for forgiveness. And when I took his hand, he just hit his hand away and walked away from me. And I missed the opportunity. But I'm not done. I will find him. Somewhere I'll find him. But then I felt, "Lord, I am comfortable. Now I tried and I'm going to keep on trying. I'm going to get hold of him. And I am going to ask him for forgiveness. Even if I did not think I was the guilty one. But I will ask forgiveness." So I arrived here at Seattle. Came in. And when I came in by the door, Pastor John and Judy were sitting there and they were watching the television and there was a preacher preaching. When I walked in and I was ready to go upstairs to my room, and as I walked past, I saw the picture where the man is preaching. And my head dropped, and I turned back. And I went, I don't know if they remember, and I went to go and sit in the chair, didn't say anything, and I just sat there, and I listened with them to the preacher. Because that was a preacher whom I vowed I will never listen to him for what he's done to me. He doesn't even know that I dislike him. But I know. And I sat there, and I sat right through his sermon. My, that itself was a victory. It was a wonderful weekend. It's a weekend that I became free. I didn't tell them. And I went upstairs, and I went to cry, and I said, Lord, set me free. He doesn't even know. Something happened, and I want to put it behind me. I forgive him. I felt he was wrong, but Lord, maybe he doesn't even think about it being wrong. I was set free. I said it was a day of my freedom after coming from Seattle, from California. The very evening, now why is the Lord so cruel to me sometimes? The very same evening, we're sitting in the same lounge, and there's another preacher preaching, and he's the second one against whom I have odds. And once again, for the first time in years, I sat and I listened to his old sermon. First time. And I went upstairs. And once again, I repented. And I released myself from that. So that I can truly say that I know of no person that I know about. And if there is that I don't know, I ask the Holy Spirit to reveal it to me. But I have no enemies. There's nobody, nobody, absolutely nobody that I hate. And if I know, I would go and ask forgiveness. But I love being free. But I love being free because I can only be free if I live in peace with all people. I am the vine. You are the branches. The branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. In other words, just cut that vine off. Just cut it off, let it lie there. That branch can produce nothing. Nothing. No wonder Jesus that says later, without me you can do nothing. We should get a grip with that. Without me, you cannot do anything. You say, but I'm moving and I'm doing things during the day. Yeah, that's casual. I'm talking about real things. Meaningful things. Conquering, overcoming, overthrowing. Without me, you can't do anything. In me, with me, I'm with you. You can conquer. You can conquer. You can win. And I can be here until tonight if you're ready to come back tonight or sit here till tonight about stories, seeing how Jesus sets people free. And it's all because of the fact that they have abided in him. The great men of God that's serving and working across the globe for Christ, winning souls, laying hands on people. Without him, they have nothing. Shall I say that again? Nothing. But in him, no wonder he says, he wants us to bear much fruit. Not occasionally a banana there and tomorrow a pineapple. No. I want you to bear much fruit. Just where you are, spiritual fruit. They must see your fruit of love and all of the fruits of the Spirit. They must see it. God help us. Make sure you're inside. Don't swing on the edges outside. Be inside. Don't stop at the entry level. Be inside and abide there. Don't hang out at the perimeters. Be inside. I really believe that the Lord has asked me to speak this to you. Something happened this morning, probably Lorena's first experience. For 3 days, I spent much of the day preparing my sermon. I wanted to be good, really special. Every day I asked to be dropped home and come back again and did it 3 days. I felt so good. Last night I sat, feel good. This morning I get up, I go back and I say to her, I got up early and I said, now I'm just going to pray and refresh myself again in the sermon that I prepared in the 3 days. I was happy, I see it all well. Hallelujah! Here I come. I'm ready. I'm going to preach. Devil, you're getting no space. I'm going to preach. Lorena comes up and she says, are you ready for tea? I said, yes, I'm ready for tea. Okay, and she prepares some of the part of the tea, and I come and finish it up, and then I go back, and I open the laptop. My sermon is gone. I could cry. I search. Now, I'm not one of those specialists that can go into the day. Where is it? What? I went through everything. It's gone. An hour before I must come to church, my sermon is gone. She had to comfort me. She come there and she prays over me as if it must come up now. I look again. No, it's not up. Maybe I must one day preach about the lost sermon, you know. And she says, are you okay? I said, well, I'll tell you later. And I went back and I spent another hour and I just got the feeling that the Lord saying to me, you know, and I don't easily say it's the Lord. I just got a feeling that the Lord, I wouldn't be surprised if I get home now and it's back on and it's back on there. I don't know. It's never happened to me before. Except, yeah, no, it has happened to me before. No, not the sermon. I'm doing the what do you call it, the speaking at my grandson's wedding. And I am to do the sermon, short sermon. And as I'm talking there, I don't know what I did. Gone. Right in front of all the guests in the beautiful garden where it's laid out, gone is my sermon. And now I'm putting on a very bold face and begin to speak. And my son Chris knows me so well. And when I was finished, everybody came to me and said, thank you so much. Lovely sermon. Beautiful. Well done. Thank you. Thank you so much. And I say to David, the man who got married, did you notice anything? No, Grandpa. No. Why? Chris says, well, I did see something. That's not yourself. Gone. Well, that one didn't come back. I don't know if this one will come back. But it's happened twice in my life. Maybe I must not use iPads, Pastor John, and follow. Yes, yeah. See, I came with my Bible. But it's been rather easy, and I enjoyed it, you know. But I think I'm going to bring it to one of the specialists and just see if they can find my sermon for somewhere else, you know. What I'm trying to say is, and I didn't want to say it before I was going to preach, then you would say, another excuse. But I wanted to say to you that I truly believe that what I tried to say, the Lord wanted me to say. And My suggestion to you is that all of us work together ensuring that we abide in Him. But why? Because that's the only way we can bear much fruit. Otherwise, you're living on the peripheries, on the edges somewhere, touching in and out. But if you abide in Him, you are truly my disciples. And much is little when God is in it. Now I change it around and say, little is much when God is in it. All we need to do is do the little we can with commitment and dedication. Then that little is much when God is in it. I pray God's blessing on you. I pray God will grant you grace and favor. That if you have sort of in and out and in and out to Him, not I'm talking to church, I'm talking to Him. Get inside. Get inside. Abide in Him. And don't go visit there. Stay there. Stay there. So that we together can bear much fruit. God bless you, and I love you.
Thank you, Chris. As we close this service today, I want to give opportunity. If there's anybody here, oh, there goes my evangelist. Okay, I'll get another one. That's fine. I'll find one somewhere. But if there's anyone here and you've never known the joy of abiding in Jesus Christ, I want you to know that everything He did for us, He did for you. He loved you, He gave Himself for you, that you might have the joy of knowing Him and that you might have that wonderful experience of Him abiding in your life. And if you've never made that commitment to the Lord, don't go home today. I'm going to ask Pastor John Branson if he would come here and stand. And Chris, would you go with him, please? And if you're here and you feel the Holy Spirit tugging upon your heart this morning, just come and let them pray for you. And just, it's time to be reconciled. It's time to make right, just as Dr. Chris was sharing about making it right with those two men of God that he needed to make it right. It's a time for us to make it right with the Lord. Don't go today without doing that. You're here to pray with you if you need prayer. Those of you who have sickness or pain in your body, don't go home without being prayed for. We'd love to pray for you. Come over here to this side of the sanctuary if you will. Amen. But would you just stand together? Amen. Father, we just ask the Holy Spirit would take the words we've heard this morning, the message that's been given, seal it to our hearts. Don't let it be taken away or stolen away, Lord, but let it come to full fruition and bring forth every bit of fruit, Lord, that you desire to produce in our life. Thank you for the word. We thank you for your messenger this morning. Lord, we ask that the Holy Spirit would seal that to our hearts in Jesus' name.